Praise the Lord. 1 Samuel chapter 17. 1 Samuel chapter 17. I have a story to tell on Miss Bellew has requested it. Now, 1 Samuel chapter 17. I'll start with the story. I have to tell a story. It just makes me less nervous. But here we go. So, how many of y'all know we have a bearded dragon? Jamie and I do. We have this bearded dragon. It's a glorified lizard. And I do not like, to me, lizards are not pets. All right? And, I mean, they're cool and all, but they're just not pets. So we have a bearded dragon. And it's Jamie's. Jamie's had it before we got married, and it just does not like me. And it does. It has these little beady eyes, and it watches me. And it's like on the side of his head, so it kind of like turns his head when I walk in the room. When I come into the room, he will not eat. She'll be sitting there feeding him the nasty little bugs that she feeds him. And he eats a cockroach. There's something wrong with a lizard when he eats cockroaches, amen? But he starts feeding him cockroaches, and he'll eat, and he'll eat, and he'll eat. And I'll walk into the room, and he'll stop eating. He'll just stare at me. So she's like, "Gotta leave the room." So I'm like, "Ugh." You know, so I'll walk over, and so he can't see me. And one day, Jamie and I were sitting there, and we noticed the bearded dragon underneath its head got really dark, and it started bobbing its head up and down. And it's just really funny. And it keeps doing it again and again and again, and we noticed it. So we got bored one day. I got bored watching it bob its head instead of laughing at it. And so we looked at it, we looked it up, and they bob their heads when they find, the males do it if they find someone that's attractive. And so I was like, "Hold on, bud, she's my wife." Yeah. No, she's mine. So we thought that was just funny. Like, you know, he's trying to show his dominance. He's a man, you know, he's bobbing his head, whatever. But then, there was one Thursday night, we're sitting there, and Jamie had to go run some errands, so I'm just sitting there. It's just me in the house. And all of a sudden, it starts bobbing its head. And it's staring at me. It's just me. I'm just sitting there on the couch. And it's going to town, bobbing its head. So I was like, "All right, this is weird. I am not attractive to you, bud." And, you know, you're a guy and I'm a guy, and just, no. And so I don't understand it. He kept bobbing his head. And I was like, "There's no way that he thinks I'm attractive. There's just no way." So I Googled it again. This time I read a little farther on it. And apparently when they feel threatened by another male dominance, that's how they show their, before they fight, that's how they show their territory. That's how they show that they're the boss of the town. So I put down my phone. I said, "Oh no, bud. We ain't having this. This is my house." So I go back to my room, and I put on some black pants, and I put on a black shirt, and I walk out there, and I stand right over him. And I said, "Chester, this is my house." And I didn't know how to bob, so I just started doing this number. I was like, "This is my house! Get out of here!" You know, and I was just going to town, started jumping up and down, you know, and it's like, so he got the picture that it was my house. Hasn't bothered me again, alright? So, I was so proud of myself. Jamie came home and I was like, "Hey, I found out this is what it meant, and I'm now the man of the house, because I proved it is my territory. I was bigger, I was darker, and I bobbed more." You know, I was expecting a "well done" or something, but she just like, there, you know. So I don't know. Amen. 1 Samuel chapter 17, 1 Samuel chapter 17, and verse 38. 1 Samuel 17, verse 38. The Bible says, "And Saul armed David with his armor, and he put on a helmet of brass upon his head. Also, he armed him with a coat of mail. And David girded his sword upon his armor and essayed to go, for he had not proved it. And David said unto Saul, 'I cannot go with these, for I have not proved them.' And David put them off him. And he took his staff in his hands and chose him 5 smooth stones out of the brook and put them in a shepherd's bag which he had, even the scrip, and the sling was in his hand, and he drew near to the Philistine." And I don't think I've preached this in church, but I think I've preached this in chapel, but that's okay. Some of the kids, I've learned the last few years of when you teach and preach, the kids are asleep anyways. So this has been on my heart all day, and I want to give it to you. 5 smooth stones. That's the title, is 5 smooth stones. And we're just going to look at it today. It says in verse 40, it says, "And he took a staff in his hand and chose him 5 smooth stones." And then at the end of the verse, it says, "And he drew near to the Philistine." And we have enemies each and every day, whether it be the flesh, the world, the devil, I don't know, your sister. It could be anyone. And your Philistine, your enemy's out there, and you got to have the right tools to beat them. You got to have the right tools to go after them. And a lot of times we know what those tools are, but a lot of times we don't have them. And it's just interesting to me, always, David out there fighting a guy with stones. He's just fighting a guy with a slingshot. This guy is a man of war. We all know it, but to me it's just so interesting how he says, you know what, I haven't proved these. I've proved some rocks and this little piece of leather, you know. I've proved this. I know how to use it well. And a lot of times we say, God, I can't fight for you, or God, I can't stand up for you because I'm not like the pastor. Well, God's not asking you to be pastor. You know what? Man's trying to ask you to be that way. But you know what? You say, oh, I can't do this. I can't do what's right because I'm not my dad. I'm not my mom. I'm not my authority figure. I'll do it later. But David didn't do that. He says, no, I haven't proved your stuff yet. But what I have to give, I've proved that. I've used that already. So let's pray. Let's just think about the five smooth stones. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, I pray to be with us. Lord, I pray then just give me the words to say and fill up the Holy Spirit. And I pray then just be with the people here tonight. God, pray that their hearts can be open to your word and not to me. Just help their hearts to be open to you. And I pray then just, Lord, challenge them in some area like you've challenged me in this. I need you and we love you. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. And I don't have a deep theological answer on why he chose five smooth stones. There's a lot of people out there that say, you know, Goliath and he had four other family members that were giants as well. And I'm not gonna bash those people. But if it was me, I mean, David just got there to the war. Goliath, I don't know, his other family members weren't there. If it was me just going against a war giant, I'm not just going to pick up one stone. Are you kidding me? If that's the thing that I prove myself with, I'm going to be picking up as many stones as I can pick up. All right, but I don't know what David did, but God knows the reasons. And you know what? I want to talk about these five smooth stones. And I want you to notice verse 40, it says, he chose them five smooth stones out of the brook. You know, where did he get them out of? He got them out of the brook. And you know what? I found that interesting. You know, you can go out to the parking lot over here on the south side of the church, and you know what? Good luck on trying to find a smooth stone. It's rough out there. But you know that these stones are smooth, not just because they just happen to be smooth, but because they're in the brook. Water was going over them constantly. Water was coming upon them and slowly taking off their edges. My family used to go kayaking every year in the river. And the only reason we wore shoes is because of the people that dropped fishing hooks and stuff like that and glass into the river. But you know what? The rocks in the river were always smooth. Why? Because the water's coming off of it. It's slowly taking it off. You know, we see here in John 4:14, it says, but whosoever, Jesus talking here to the woman at the well, says, but whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. But the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into life everlasting. John 7:38 and 39 says, he that believeth on me, as the scripture hath said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. But this he spake of the Spirit, which they that believe on him should receive. You know, the water, the brook that we need today, it's not just a literal brook of water. It's not just a water of life. But you know, it's the Spirit inside of us. It's God inside of us. We have to get saved. And you have to spend time with the Spirit. A lot of times we say, man, I want a smooth stone. Or, hey, Jesus, can you forgive me of this sin? And we think Jesus is a guy with a chisel and a hammer. God, forgive me of this sin. All right, I'm smooth. Hey, God, I need to be the best preacher in the world. All right, you're smooth. No. Hey, God, I need to be a good Christian today. Okay, why don't you take it one day at a time there, bud? Why don't you read your Bible and pray today? It's a slow and gradual process. God doesn't just go over there and be like, oh, you want to give a lot of money? You want to go to the mission field? All right, you're a missionary. He says, no, you need to get trained first. Or he says, hey, you want to give millions to church? All right, you won the lottery. No, he doesn't do that. You know what? I don't know. I don't know what he does on that. But you gotta take time. Taking time in God's Word each and every day, that water's slowly going to take those rough edges off of you. You know, when you're a firstborn Christian, you had some rough edges. But you know what? The longer and the more time you spent in church, the more time you spent in God's Word, and the more that you let the Spirit dwell inside of you, the smoother those edges came. And you know what? We gotta realize that David didn't just find these rocks anywhere. He found them in the brook. And he also, he kept these stones safe. He kept these stones safe. In verse 40 it says, he found them out of the brook and put them in a shepherd's bag, which he had even in a scrip. And you know what? Those are actually two bags there. And I don't have a shepherd bag, all right? All I have is my game bag from Bible class, all right? He had two bags here. He basically had like a little bag. How many of y'all have a if you got a $100 bill, you just nonchalantly just put it in your pocket? No, you want to keep it safe. You probably put it in your wallet. If you're a guy, that's your scrip. And you put it in the shepherd bag, you put it in your back pocket. All right? It is double safe. All right? How many of you girls, if you get to give you some money, you want to just throw that anywhere and just into the, no, you put it in your billfold, and then you put it into your purse, then you put it in that duffel bag, all right? What have you guys carry? You know what? David kept it safe. David is sitting there and he's saying, you know what? I have to go fight this guy. I don't know if I'm going to be flying around trying to dodge his sword. I don't know if I'm going to be jumping out of the way from a spear. I don't know if this guy's going to be chasing me. But you know what? I do not want these rocks getting loose. I do not want these rocks falling out of my pocket. He goes, you know what? He goes down to the brook and he starts picking off these rocks. Five smooth stones. He didn't just nonchalantly go out there. He wasn't out there. You know, when you go skipping stones, you try to find that nice stone. You know what, I figured David was sitting there taking his time saying, I need some good stones because I'm getting ready to go fight a guy that's way bigger than me. Hey, and that's what we have. We have the devil. We have enemies that are way bigger than you, and you can't do it. You have to go to the water. You have to spend time with God. And you know what? You have to choose your rocks carefully. A lot of times, that's where we fail. So, let's see here. What kind of stones do we have? Number one. That was my intro. Here we go. Number one, the first stone we need is the stone of Jesus. You know, the first stone he had the stone of Jesus. You know, that's obviously a picture of salvation. You can't do anything without Jesus. For God, nothing is impossible. You can't do anything. You can't do anything with God. Without God, you can't breathe. You can't walk. You can't talk. You can't do what's right without Him. You can't be the good Christian leader that you need to be. You can't be the good Christian follower that you need to be without God. We need God. Here we go. We have the stone of Jesus. Deuteronomy chapter 32 and verse 4. Deuteronomy chapter 32 and verse 4. I like this this passage here. Deuteronomy 32 and verse 4. It says, He, talking about God, He is the rock. All right? Is that rock there? Is it capitalized? Is anyone there? Deuteronomy chapter 32 and verse 4. He is the rock. It is capitalized. I'll answer that for you. His work is perfect, for all His ways are of judgment, a God of truth and without iniquity, just and right is He. God is our rock. You know what? God, He's the rock. He's not just any old small rock. He's not just any old little rock. He's not, I don't know, whatever you're trusting in, whether it be whether it be a little God or it's not money. He ain't money. He's bigger than that rock. You know what? He's not some man. He's not some doctor. God's bigger than that rock. You say, Michael, that's a little stone in your hand. Well, yeah, because I can't carry a stone as big as God. We need God. God is the rock. If you look at verse 31, I like this little chapter here. Verse 31, Deuteronomy chapter 32, it says, For their rock, it's a little r, is not as our rock, capital R, even our enemies themselves being judges. Hey, you know what? The stone of Jesus, it's the rock, and it's a different rock. You know what? The rock that I pray to and I read about every morning, He's not Muhammad, He's not Buddha, He's not dead, He is alive today. And you know what? Our rock is different. And a lot of times, we fail to see that. A lot of times, we try to compare our God, our rock, to all the other rocks. We try to humanize God. But God's ways are above our ways. And lastly, our rock, verse 37. Look at this. Verse 37. He shall say, Where are their gods, their rock, in whom they trusted? You know what? That's Jesus. He's saying, Hey, where are their gods? Where are their rocks that they trusted in? Hey, you know what? God is the stone of Jesus. He is the rock. He is a different rock. But He's a dependent rock. You know, He's the rock that I can go to stand on when storms are coming down. He's a rock that I can trust in. He's a dependent. He's always going to be there. I might go far away and I might fall off the cliff, but you know what? I know I can retrace my steps and Jesus is still going to be where I left Him. Jesus doesn't leave us. We leave Him. And a lot of times, we fail to see this stone. And you know what? We got to have the first stone of Jesus. We have to have Him. Alright, the second stone. The other five stones that he had. You know what? I see in here, one of the stones that we need is a stone of the Bible. We gotta have the stone of the Bible. A lot of times we don't think this way. We say, man, we don't need the stone of the Bible. What's the point of the Bible? You know, it's sad to me. I have bus kids on my bus route. They don't have a Bible yet. And it bugs me. I'm trying to get them a Bible. And a lot of times, I have like 7 or 8 Bibles. And I'm like, man, why did I mark in these or write my name in them? Because I could be giving these away. How blessed we are. We take the Bible for granted. We really do. If you think about it, we take this so much. We don't even care about this like we should. And you know what? We need it more than anything. This stone of the Bible, Matthew chapter 7. You know, this stone, it's a stone that the devil can't fight. In Matthew chapter 4, Jesus rebuked him with God's words. But you know what? Matthew chapter 7, verse 24, the Bible says, "Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man that buildeth his house upon a rock." Hey, what happened to that? And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon the house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. Hey, you know what? A lot of times we try to go through life's storms without our Bible. A lot of times we try to go through difficult situations and we don't ever want to seek peace in God. A lot of times we don't want to go to the Comforter. We want to try to go through ourselves. We want to try to go through other things other than the Bible. You know what? Jesus is not just sitting there and saying, whoever heareth these sayings, He just did a Sermon on the Mount. He just gave His Word. And a lot of times we have God's whole Word. We have God's blessed Word. And you know what a lot of times we do? We just let it collect dust throughout the week. We blow it off and we wipe it off and maybe we crinkle a couple of pages to make others think we read it. But you know what? A lot of us, it's just, oh yeah, I'm a Christian, I guess. You know, that's my crown over there, my little badge, you know. So if anyone ever were to come in, they would see that I have a Bible. But you know what? It shouldn't be that way. We should be living it. I want you to notice there. You know, the stone of the Bible, it's not just a little old stone. The Bible says, therefore, whosoever heareth these things. You know what? A lot of us, we hear these things. You're here in church tonight. You're hearing the Bible. You're hearing God's Word on Sunday morning and Sunday night and Wednesday night. You're hearing God's Word when you go to school. You're hearing God's Word if you go to prison on Thursday nights. You're hearing God's Word, but what makes the difference between the wise man and the foolish man? The next little word there. And doeth them. A lot of times we hear God's Word and we say, you know what, I know the right answers. I know that, but you know what, we don't do them. A lot of times we find ourselves getting in trouble because we don't do God's Word. We don't do His commandments. A lot of times we sit there and we say, oh yeah, Jesus, I'm saved, but why are you still sinning? I don't want to listen to that part of the Bible. I know it's wrong, but I don't. You know, it irritates me. I go to the jail, and those guys, they sit there, and they want to talk Bible with me. You know what? I'll be honest. Some of those guys know Bible more than I do. I mean, they know it. I mean, when you're stuck in a cell all day, and all you read is the Bible like 4 times a day, they know quite a bit of the Bible. You know what their problem is? They don't do it. That irritates me. They act like they're better than me, and I'm better than them. No, but you know what? They just don't do it. They don't do it. You know what? A lot of us, we grow up in church and we hear the God's Word. And I was in the same boat for the longest time. I knew God's Word. I knew all the right answers. I knew what was going on. But you know what? I just wasn't doing it. And that's not good enough. Because you know what? Your giant's going to come. And without God's Word, you are going to fail. You say, but I'm saved. I got the first stone. That's not going to cut it. Well, David defeated Goliath with one stone. Well, you know what? Our enemy's getting harder. And we have to have what God wants us to have. Here we go. So you have the stone of Jesus. That different, independent rock. You have the stone of the Bible. And all you have to do is hear the words and do them. But you know what? There's also the stone of the pastor. Amen. Since we're here at Heritage Baptist Church, I got a blue rock for pastor. Amen. Here we go. He likes blue. All right, the stone of the pastor. You know what? A lot of times, pastor's not perfect. And I'm getting ready to do this, but you know what? I believe He's a perfect pastor for me. And you know what? I get this from John chapter 1, verse 4. John chapter 1, verse 4. You know what? You got to get behind the man of God. And if you don't like the man of God, just get out of here. Honestly. If you don't like the man of God, don't cause a stink in the church. Get out and go to a church that you want to. Go to a TV church. Be your own pastor or something. I don't know. Here we go. The stone of the pastor, John chapter 1, verse 42, the Bible says, and he brought him to Jesus. And when Jesus beheld him, he said, thou art Simon, son of Jonah. Thou shalt be called Cephas, which is interpretation, a stone. And you know what? I like the little word stone there. I looked it up. And I like the little word stone. You know what that stone is? It's a small piece of a rock that came from a larger rock. Hey, you know what? You say, whoa, that's deep. You know what? I believe wholeheartedly that our pastor has got a little piece of the big rock. Amen. Hey, and I'm not just saying that to say that. You know, we have a lot of pastors nowadays that aren't preaching God's Word. They're preaching different things. We have preachers up there nowadays that are going up there and they're doing their own thing. And they're trying to do a worship service. And not like we call a worship service. But they're over there trying to appease the flesh. And you know what? You ought not go to church just to appease the flesh. You know what? The stone is a piece of a larger rock. You know, Peter wasn't perfect. Jesus still told him to feed his sheep even after Peter denied him three times. You know, Peter, he did a lot of, you know, a lot of times he opened up his mouth and we're like, oh man, Peter, why'd you do that when you're reading the Bible? Like, ah, Peter, you know what? Peter wasn't perfect, but God still had, he said, hey, Peter, I have a job for you. You know what? Pastor Hanks ain't perfect, but God still has a job for him to do. And you know, we ought to be behind him. You say, I can make it through storms without Pastor. Yeah, you can. You won't go very far. You know, they were with Jesus on the boat. Peter was with Jesus on the boat. You know, Peter, we see him doing great things in the New Testament after Jesus went up to heaven. You know why? Because he had a piece of Jesus. And you know what? Christians were disciples were called Christians first in Antioch. Why? Because they were living like Christ. And you know what? There's none of us that can say, you know, Pastor Hanks is not a Christian. We can see it. You know what? We ought to be behind him. When you have a problem, you ought to have a stone. You better have Pastor in your bag there. You say, Pastor, I need some help. Hey, Pastor, I need some prayer. Pastor, I need some guidance. Pastor, I need you because you know what? I have these enemies out there. I have these troubles out there. I have this hard time out there, and I need your help. Maybe it's not a hard time. Maybe it's just a little test, or maybe just something that you need extra guidance on. You know what? You ought to have Jesus, first of all. You can still read God's Word, but you know what? You ought to have someone that God has put in your life to help fight the enemy for you. And you got to have that stone. All right, so you have the stone of Jesus, that different, dependent rock. You have the stone of the Bible. You got to do it. You have the stone of the pastor. You know what? He's a piece of a larger stone. Amen. And lastly, here we go. The stone of the church. You have the stone of the church. Ephesians 5, 23 and 24. The Bible, I won't read it, but you know, it says, wives be submissive. It's that, you know, I'm going to read it because I'm going to slaughter it. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5. Here we go. Ephesians 5 verse 24. It says, therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. Husband loves your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. You know what? That little phrase there, I know a lot of times we think that of a husband and wives, but you know what? It says, therefore, as the church is subject to Christ. You know what? As a church, you ought to find yourself a church that is subject to Christ. You ought to find a church that loves Christ. You ought to have a church that wants to serve Christ. You ought to have a church that wants to follow Christ and be behind Christ the whole way. If you're in a church that doesn't do that, see, get out. Amen. If you leave here, find a church that is Christ-honoring. And Christ worshiping. Because, you know what? When you have a hard time, we had it tonight. What do we have? We had a prayer list of a whole bunch of people that are having hard times. And what did we do as a church family? We prayed for them. You know, I hate those people. I don't hate them, okay? But, you know, those people that irritate me. I don't need to go to church. You know, we had a friend in Oklahoma. He always, anyways, he's a neighbor. He's like, oh, I don't need to go to church. I can read my Bible at home. I don't need church. I can pray at home. And you know what? You don't need a car. You can walk everywhere, but you sure get places faster and do things better, right? You know what? You know, you can read your Bible all you want, but you ain't ever going to grow as a Christian like you could if you went to church. You can get to mingle with other people. I like telling people this now. You know, you can play basketball all by yourself. You know what? Trust me, that is no fun. I used to do that growing up. But you know what? I loved going to practice and playing against other people. Why? Because I was the best one at my home court. But when I went against other people, I was on the bench. And so, you know what? A lot of times as Christians, we sit there and we say, you know what? Not as Christians, hopefully not. But you know what? We sit there as human and we say, I don't need church. I can go and read my Bible at home. I can pray and I can do this. And you know what? When's the last time you heard of a person putting a track on their city just because they're their own little person? When's the last time you heard of a church putting a track all over Kansas? Just a person. Not a church, a person. When was the last time you had a person came and say, hey, I'm having the Lord's Supper at my house. What do they have, like a little juice packet? And, come on. Go to church. You got to have it. It's got to be in your scripts. That boggles my mind, people that say. So we have it's not a deep message tonight. You got to have 5 smooth stones. They're in the brook. You got to have Jesus. You got to have the Bible. You got to have a pastor. You got to have a church. Amen. But lastly, you got to have the stone of a good friend. You got to have a stone of a good friend. And a lot of times we sit there and we say, you know what, I don't need a friend. Or a lot of times we say, man, I don't have to have this, but you ought to have a friend. The Bible says in Proverbs chapter 27, don't judge me. All right, Proverbs chapter 27, verse 17. Some of y'all could quote this. Some of y'all can find it before me. Proverbs chapter 27, verse 17, the Bible says, iron sharpeneth iron, so as a man sharpeneth the countenance of his friend. And I know some of y'all are sitting there thinking, oh, dude, iron's metal, not a stone. All right? Before you judge me, you know what? I was sitting there and I'm sorry, I'm nervous. So I have to joke. But you know what? I was sitting there. I was a camper. I can't remember. I think I was in 7th grade, and I went with my cousin. It was on Boy Scouts, so some of their camping thing was just all boys. I don't know what it was, but I went without him 2 days. We went out into the woods, built our little tents and everything. It was miserable. It rained out at night, and our tent leaked. But that was not the point. During the day, there's this guy that made arrowheads, and I will never forget this. This guy made arrowheads like they did back in the old days, and he literally had a square stone. And he had another special kind of stone. He said he couldn't use any kind of... But he had this little stone in his hand. And you know what he did? He just slowly and lightly tapped this square stone. Just tapped it away. And you're sitting there. In those 2 days, he probably made 5 arrowheads. I mean, he took his time. And I couldn't do it. You know, I was over there like... And it broke. And I was like, I quit. You know, I was that kid. But you know what? He sat there with the stone. And he made it, I mean, he put all the little perfect little rivets inside of it, like you would think of a little arrowhead from the Indian days. It was on both sides. It was really skinny, so it could actually pierce. He cut away at the end of it and made a little notches in it so he could tie it to a stick. He just did it with a stone. You know, I know iron sharpens iron, but you know what? You ought to have a good friend that can sit there and ought to be able to say, hey man, that's wrong. We shouldn't be doing that. You know, not someone that gets in your face and hits you. But someone that you can take correction from. Someone that you can be sharper with. Someone that you can fight the enemy better with. You know what? The guy didn't have a lot of tools. Literally, he just had one stone and another stone. He just tapped away at it. A lot of times we sit there and we say, I don't need a friend or I don't need someone to help me. But you really do. You need a smooth stone. You know what? It's not that hard. You got to have Jesus with you each and every day. If you're not saved, you ought to have Jesus. Each and every day, you better be reading your word because the devil's out there to attack you. You need a pastor. One that loves God. You need a church. One that fears God and serves God and worships God, but you need a friend. Whether it be a spouse or someone just at church, you need someone to help strengthen you. You know what you need to do? You need to put those somewhere safe. Not just in her pocket. Put it somewhere where you can keep it. I wish I had another bag today and put it somewhere else like David did. You know, I don't know if David knew of Goliath's other family members, but you know what? I knew David thought, this is the fight of my life. And if I lose this fight, I don't just go home weeping. I die. You know what? You're in the fight for your life. The devil wants you gone. He wants you off the face of the planet. He wants you dead. He wants you to not serve God anymore. What are you doing with those stones? You got to have them safe. Are you missing any stones? Are you not saved today? Have you trusted in Christ? Maybe you're skipping out on your friends, or maybe you haven't spent time in prayer and God's Word, and maybe you're not doing them. Are you missing any stones? Are you taking care of your stones? Are you just taking your stones and throwing them in your pocket? Are you taking care of your stones and just whatever? And where'd you find your stones tonight? Is your friend a little rough around the edges? Is it not the right friend you should have? Just think about it. 5 smooth stones. Let's pray.